The earthy part of the self, that soil in which the dark nature hides, is a heavy thing, and it is that soil in which truth and beauty and those mysteries which call you forward grow. 39 Naturally, it is largely in response to other people that we encounter our chances to purify the emotions, since without an object to which to rear, there is no rearion. But it is ourselves that we are seeing, as we respond. How do we know when we have reached a purer emotion? Those of you who say, each of your emotions has a puffly crystalline nature. It is buried within the distortions that keep you from seeing and hearing the beauty of that note of feeling, that emotion. So when you experience emotions, know that you are receiving information from a deep source that is from that large portion of your consciousness that resides at a level below the threshold of conscious awareness, where words cannot go. 219, Chapter 7, Doing Metaphysical Work. Emotions become vocabulary. So as you gaze at yourself rearing emotionally, we ask that you realize that it is not at all your job to remove emotion. Nor is it desirable, in our opinion, that the emotions be altered because you feel they should be altered. Rather, we would suggest, with these emotions that strike you as being less than pure, to sit with that emotion, to re-experience that emotion, to move about in that feeling state, and to gaze without fear and without haste at that experience that you have collected. As you spend the time to contemplate that situation in which the emotion became embedded, perhaps you can begin to see some of where the distortions are within your own vibratory complex. This is valuable information, but not to the conscious mind. Rather, it is the subconscious mind which reaps the benefits of your contemplating those things which have moved you. 40 Contemplate those things that have moved us, and the circumstances surrounding them, but never with fear. This is an important point, for fear is the great spoiler of metaphysical work. Our physical bodies gear us to fight or flight when startled, not just by physical things, but also things of the mind and emotion. Moving beyond our own fears takes patience and persistence. Why would we be encouraging a lack of fear when working to purify the emotions? Because it is normal to fear the suffering involved in experiencing confused and confusing feelings, and sorting them out and dealing with them, and yet it is not skillful to allow this fear to abide for long. Those of Hatton suggest thinking of ourselves as flawed crystals we are trying to rebuild. There are seeded among your peoples more crystallized souls or spirits who are much more oriented towards riffling and refrilling the light and the love of the Creator. These are people of magnetism and illumination to some degree or another, and are committed each in his or her own way to the path of righteousness, as this instrument would call it. However, it is the nature of most crystals to be flawed, and the delicate vibrations of the Golden Age are such that each crystal will begin to disintegrate to a certain extent along the flawed line. It is within the free will of each of these entities to rebuild their crystallized entity in such a manner that the flaw no longer exists. However, this is extremely painful. It is much more common for the individual not totally understanding the purification that he or she is going through to blame the pain of transformation upon those nearest the entity. Thus, many who are undergoing personal and individual purifications in order to become purely crystallized and free of flaws on the path to what you would call mastery, are interpreting this pain as having to do with a 220, Chapter 7, Doing Metaphysical Work relationship, rather than recognizing that the problem is completely personal, and is no reflection upon any partner, child or situation. This is the great contributing cause to the many seemingly synchronous relationship difficulties that you are now observing and indeed experiencing. 41 How hard it is to see the suffering we are doing as distinct from the personalities that seem to have inspired the sorrow. And yet it is so. Other selves are our catalyst. They inspire responses in us without themselves being at all involved, at least, not necessarily. In working in consciousness, it is all about ourselves. Ourselves and that refining fire. Truly one needs to follow the heart, but first one needs to allow each experience to be refined and be purified by the distillery that is carried within that heart by each. It seems that each is a prisoner of time, And yet in the sense that we are using this analogy, it is only in the freedom of the illusion of time and space that this first purification of self-aware emotion can be accomplished. These raw feelings that the heart senses instantaneously may be already pure, but it is well to ask the self to refrain from impulse and to honor all feeling by moving back to it when one can contemplate it, and in that centered and balanced mode allow the deeper truths of what has been felt to move through that refining fire which distills pure emotion from the dross of ingredients that are no longer needed. 42 As Mike Korenko says, sticking around through this process is hard. I get real depressed at times thinking about all that is coming up. I even found myself wishing for the Mike of the past year. You don't need this pain, one voice would say. Run as fast as you can, another would yell. It has been a real trial to just stick to my pledge to myself that I would no longer run from my own feelings. 43 Good for you, Mike. As those of nurturing in the long run, you say, staying with this work is very, only in the darkness of seemingly negative emotions of loss and limitation does the deep prayer, the soulful song of love, take wing and sweep the incarnate being to a point of view where the breadth of love, once felt for one entity, may be turned at a world dying and yearning for your deep love and compassion. Thusly, one does well not to turn from sorrow but to turn towards it, to merge with it, and to carry this loss as a shining ornament which honors the infinite creator. 44, 221, Chapter 7, Doing Metaphysical Work. I love the thought that we are our own spiritual children. In the universal sense, we are all in the manger, no room at the inn, hoping to gain some ground in this incarnation as loving beings. This is not an easy process to love, especially while in the midst of it. We come to new situations and their corresponding emotions as those scattered and surprised. We hope to refine and distill those feelings into their own truths. How can we aid this process? For one thing, we can adopt the disciplines of purification, fasting, meditation and protayan. You did not come here to dispel worry and to be comforted, rather, you came into the arena of third density to strive in darkness. Your greatest sight is the blind but loving heart, for one sees with the heart the light which is not visible to the mind, for within the heart rests the spirit of love. This spirit is a side of wisdom which is no words in your density, and it expresses its wisdom in the more and more purified emotions. When the seeker comes first to the conscious study of the processes of spiritual choice making, at first, the heart is less than optimally pure in its expression. The seeker begins, day by day and meditation by meditation, to empty out of the heart the less pure of that heart's contents, as though the heart were a pocket in which many things had been placed, some of which were not desirable. After a time meditating and seeking, the heart begins to be released from having to hold so much of that which is less than pure, and then the heart may begin to shed its wisdom upon the conscious mind. This purifying process is not short, and we do not wish to suggest that you must become consciously pure in heart. We simply encourage each to do the work of opening in meditation regularly, and allowing the heart to empty itself of the petty trivia so that its strain may be deeper and ever more pure. 45 Clear communication is suggested as an aid to purifying the emotions that are deeper and which are often the true cause of an outburst of anger are those seeds which have not the full light of the sun, the full light of one's conscious attention and recognition of the kind of seed that has been planted, who has planted the seed and who has tended the seed as the gardener. Thus, we do not recommend the repressing of any emotional experience, even that of anger, unless the entity with whom one is expressing these energies is, because of being a stranger or being too young to understand, unable to partake in the experience without suffering, on its part, great confusion or misapprehension of a gross nature. 46, 222, Chapter 7, Doing Metaphysical Work. Experiencing music, art, reading, a play or opera, any form of art, can help the self to see and to purify the emotions by giving us words and feelings we could not see by ourselves. As spiritual beings, there is far more to the self than can be imagined, And so as the mind struggles to process information which has no words, that which transcends words becomes increasingly useful. The drama, the comedy, the painting, the opera, the art that pulls an entity beyond words into emotional states, these are valuable things because they trigger truth from the standpoint of emotion or the heart rather than the concept of the mind. And the seeker is attempting to get to the heart of the self, to live from the heart of self. And so these archetypes which carry great rivers of purified motion within them are extremely helpful. 47 Lastly, those of you who suggest that we turn to the Infinite One, in silence, in argument and in prayer, the Creator is seemingly far away. Seemingly, this wondrous mystery has created and then left the universe in which you exist. For all any can prove, this is the case. However, when the heart and emotions form the habit of turning momentarily or for a longer time to the Infinite One, to the mystery of unity, there then opens a very, very primary and deep channel within the roots of mind, and joy, hope and kindness flower upward to blossom without fanfare or ado in the forefront of the mind, offering that inner home the sweet smell and freshness that the flowers always do. Stopping to remember the Creator is like planting a seed within the self. It flowers and bears fruit in time. 48 What a gift to the self, to become able to feel emotions that have become pure and deep and true. It is the culmination of the work of many years, usually, when the utter resonance and beauty of pure emotion comes to us. We spend so much time in the middle of the waves, scrambling for balance and breath and rocked with confused combinations of feelings and thoughts. Refining these confused emotions is delicate and subtle work. May we find the joy of these pure rivers of feeling within, as we come through the floods of circumstance. Working with teachers of all the ways to work metaphysically, the favorite of many is the working with the teacher. Many of the Eastern systems depend upon the inner work. 223, Chapter 7, Doing Metaphysical Workings of this close and devotional relationship with the guru of choice. A teacher or guru can embody lessons and learnings too complex or profound for easy verbal communication. The relationship between teacher and student can become quite powerful and transformative. There is a relationship in which both become vessels for learning and teaching. The student may look to the teacher in such a way that the teacher inspires within the student a certain highly potentiated kind of humility, which the student expresses by deliberately setting aside those known personality features which may tend to distort or disrupt the seeking process. When this process is being consciously directed and intensely pursued in a sheltered environment, the teacher or the guru in this respect may accept the sacrifice or the laying aside of the earthly personality in the symbolic way, understanding that what there is to be offered, coming through the teacher, is further empowered by this A. Now, this process can be successful only when the teacher has similarly laid aside the earthly personality and is willing to join hands with the student in a fashion which allows each to participate in a sense of a greater reality, to appreciate the unity that is all-embracing. The strength of the teacher flows back to the student, even as the student's gift of its devotion to the teacher further empowers the funayan of the teaching. We find then, that this group was quite clear in its surmise that the greatest gift that the teacher has to give is the beingness of the teacher. 49 Those of useful, you o say that this density is one where teachers are especially, that solitude, that feeling of aloneness, is due to the veil of forgetting having been dropped, so that those within your density simply cannot recall the unity betwixt the self and all others. This is the density where teachers are more and more important. Those who are able to use their breath to speak support, comfort and challenge to those whom they would aid. 50 We each plan before the incarnation to have teachers both seen and unseen. No entity walks alone, for each has those friends, teachers and guides that walk with it as do those brothers and sisters within your own illusion walk with each in spirit. 51 Those of Oaksville talk about being an unseen teacher, who is at the same time learning from those they teach. 224, Chapter 7, Doing Metaphysical Work for Us, those who have worked long within the wisdom density, the task, as strange as it might seem to you, is to be less wise, and to rediscover the sources of compassion we originally encountered so long ago. Our task is to blend this compassion with the many wisdoms we have acquired. We feel more and more the call of this task, and as we are called into this task, we seek the opportunity to serve. Us, your calling is a great and wonderful such opportunity, and thus, it appears to us that you who call from within the dark faith of third density seeking have so much you may teach us by your dedication that we who offer ourselves in service as teachers to you find that you appear to us as teachers to us. So we find that the question of the proper relation between student and teacher is a very complicated one, indeed. There is no formula for right teaching. There is no formula for the proper way to go about being a student. We would prefer to say that the teacher/student relationship is ephemeral, and is essentially an event that is of the order of an opportunity. It is an opportunity for mutual sharing in a way that does not bias in advance the outcome of that sharing. 52 Things do not always go smoothly with students and their teachers, for teachers often bring out the students' imbalances as their chemistry and exchange proceed. As Jody Boyne, a teacher himself, says, teachers and life tend, with friend or catalyst, to bring out these imbalances. The Eastern Gurus had no risp for the American hippie movement for this reason. Both the hippies and the uptight Protestant work ethic were extremes and a falling back from the fourth density inspiration into third density expressions. In an uptight religious group I'd be ranting about peace, love and understanding. In this one, a Wanderer's email group, I find myself ranting about effort, work and attainment, as represented in the real accomplishments of the Gurus. 53 It is very special to find a teacher who loves to teach and who loves to teach us in particular. I have had teachers like that. I remember with utmost affection my sixth grade teacher, Mrs. Cobb, who was the first teacher besides my parents ever to appreciate me for myself and not see my brain power as some kind of personal affront. She would take me home with her on the weekend and show me things all day Saturday, while we walked through the farmer's hay market of Louisville and followed the chores of her day. I felt as though vistas were opening everywhere, and I felt loved. It was absolute heaven. Several of my college professors also gave me the great honor and privilege of asking for me to come for extra hours of private discussion during my classes with them, and again I savored the wonderful, 225, Chapter 7, Doing Metaphysical Work Gifts of Sensitive and Passionate Teaching about the dearly loved Sabbaths of Beauty and Art, Language, Literature, Thought and Inspiration. However, as Romy Borrell says, it is always wise to be careful, for not all teachers are offering gifts we really wish to accept. There are many versions of the truth, as many different versions as there are lessons to be learned. I feel you would be wise to weigh the version of truths you study very carefully. We have a short time on this planet. It is a short time till the harvest. There are many distortions and many warped truths. Many things that would cause us to lose polarity and / reduce our effectiveness with the harvesting efforts or perhaps even destroy us to the point of not making the cut ourself. 54-214, a woman who remembers other lifetimes as a Native American, reports, I was pulled into an apprenticeship program a couple of years ago with a woman who called herself a medicine woman. Long story. It was a learning experience all right, but not a very pleasant one. To Ali, it was very frightening and confusing. By the time I was released from it, I had broken out in the worst case of psoriasis I'd ever had. I'm still working on clearing through the effects of it. I was uncomfortable with it from the start, but that medicine woman was very dictatorial with me. I guess that I had to go through it as a harsh lesson in learning to trust myself. 55 Sometimes this is the UL lesson offered by a teacher. The discovery that one's own counsel is the best. To someone who loves to share the experience of learning, this can be a real disappointment, but not every earthly teacher is suited to us. On the other hand, our inner guidance is nicely groomed to our individual needs, and the advice from inner guidance is always positive. The guides, as many have called them, or teachers, or angelic presences, that have been with you for not just this incarnation but for many, are always of a positive orientation. If you are ever aware of any influence that does not seem positive in its nature, you may offer to that influence a challenge that asks it the question that you have answered well for yourself, and it is well for each seeker to know the answer to the question of what it would live for and what it would die for. What is the essence of its being? What is it that gives it the energy, the ideas and the inspiration to continue in each day of its seeking? 56 Ewa gives us a good idea about this inner guidance system. 226, Chapter 7, Doing Metaphysical Work. Many there are of an unseen nature who cherish and watch over the Levites of those of your peoples as each day's Levites are accomplished. Each entity has those guides and guardians, friends and teachers in whose care the entity has been placed, in a metaphysical sense, so that there is for each entity a significant number of unseen hands and hearts that join in your journey. In addition, there are those whose honor and duty has more of a light-bringing nature, so that your experiences are blessed from time to time according to the invitations, shall we say, that you make with your seeking. 57 Teachers are most valuable, in their generosity of spirit and their many gifts of time and attention. Our inner teachers often will utilize the dreaming state, and states such as meditation, as they find ways to suggest without insisting. Each entity has at its beck and call, as it were, teachers, friends, guides and the force of light imbued with love, that move to support and inspire the entity through dreams, meditation and the presenting of the appropriate person, book, program or experience at the appropriate time within this process of learning. 58, 227, Chapter 7, Doing Metaphysical Work, 1, Hat On, Transcript 14, Chapter 7, Doing Metaphysical Work, 230, Chapter 8, The Healing of the Incarnation, Incarnational Lessons. In a way, this chapter might also be titled Metaphysical Work 2, Doing Work in Consciousness. We are constantly slipping from level to level and point of view to point of view, finding various ways to use skill and patience and heart to seek for the heart of self. If we hear echoes in these pages of Sobeys covered in Chapter 7, or earlier, do not be surprised, for we will meet ourselves coming and going many times as we do indigo ray work. Themes recur because there is underlying simplicity to the puzzle, elegance and spare economy beneath the welter of detail and confusion. Looking at the self from the unique point of view of the healing of the incarnation has its advantages. The basic idea is that we each incarnated with a general, overall plan for the incarnation, a plan of learning and service. Here, I am talking about the broad and deepest lessons and service, the themes of the incarnation for us. As we go through the processes of taking in the learning and attempting the serving, we suffer, make errors, at least in our own eyes, and become aware that we need to heal that suffering insofar as we can. When we look back and see all the suffering, we tend not to want to forgive the suffering or the whole process, even though we pre-incarnatively set all this out for ourselves, just as we choose our courses of study at the beginning of a semester of school. If we can come to trust in the excellence of the basic plan, we become more able to allow ourselves this forgiveness of suffering, this healing. You have perhaps heard us before speak of something we call healing of the incarnation. In your third density incarnative experience, this is the heart of work in consciousness, for if the incarnation be healed, the potentiated and polarized servant is then free to offer with purity the life to the infinite creator. As each looks upon its if-onlys, we ask that each consider that these unhealed memories dim and make tenuous the pure light which is the manifestation of love, which empowers each servant of the one infinite creator. 1. What are these unhealed memories?